With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Slam me, hey. You already know what's up. What's that another home run? But you know the job ain't done till we hold that trophy up. Hey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 575 of the Talking Friars podcast and YouTube show. Ben Fadden with you here. March 20th, 2024, Padres, they start out the season with a loss in Seoul, South Korea. It looked like they were going to be able to win this game. Bullpen matchups, things were going well. And then that, seventh, eighth inning really took a turn for the worse there. And tie game, ball goes through Jake Cronenworth's glove, and it just opens up from there. So the Padres lose 5-2. I have a lot of thoughts from this game. Padres roster obviously was announced last night, and so I have some thoughts on that in case you missed my initial reaction there. If you want to join the show, click that link pinned up at the top of the chat. I will obviously get to the live comment section, the live chat as well, for your thoughts. I'm sure that there's a lot of frustrated Padres fans today that woke up like I did at not just 3, but before 3, well before 3 o'clock in the morning. I wanted to see the pregame stuff. I was excited. And, at the beginning, things were going well. They were playing some good fundamental baseball. And then it just went apart. Things just didn't continue going the Padres' way there near the end. And so we look towards, hopefully, a win tomorrow with Joe Musgrove on the mound. Although, who knows who's going to be available out of the bullpen. So, I'll get to that here in a little bit. But, just initial reaction, 5-2. I already put up my post-game reaction. And by the way, if you missed it yesterday, I was talking about what's going to be happening this season. When I'm available, I'll be doing those post-game reactions. Just shorter. And then, after every series, do a show. Special occasions like this one, do a show as well and break down the games and everything that's happening related to the Padres. To start the game, Darvish getting the start for the Padres, I thought he was pretty solid. I didn't like the 3 walks, and I'm already seeing it on social media, oh my gosh, it took Darvish how many pitches? Almost 80? It took him 72 pitches to only go 3 2/3 innings. How is that a solid outing? Well, what I care about is the earned runs, and he gave up no earned runs. The one run that he allowed, unearned, and Tyler Wade playing third base, because Manny's obviously DHing to start the year, Wade makes a bad throw, Teoscar Hernandez gets to second base, and he ends up scoring later in the inning. Darvish shouldn't have even allowed a run, and he had to throw more pitches because of the error. The umpire, home plate umpire, and it wasn't just the Padres. There were some questionable calls with Glasnow and the Dodgers when they were on the mound as well. Umpire didn't seem to be that great, but I guess his strike zone is different from the strike zone that is shown on TV. And by the way, this TV broadcast, my goodness, I liked listening to Don and Mud. Obviously, love them. That was great. But, and it seems like both teams, they have to use like the ESPN camera. It seems like there's one universal broadcast and it's just different commentators going over the video there, talking over it, because they were showing Dodger fans. They were showing Ohtani's wife, I think that's who it was, a lot. They were showing a lot of Dodger fans clapping. It's like, can they please stop showing Dodger fans? This is a Padres broadcast. Why do I have to see Dodger fans? Why do I have to see a shot of the Dodgers broadcast booth? Why do I have to see a shot of the ESPN broadcast booth? I don't care. I'm a Padres fan watching the Padres broadcast. But it seems like these two games in Korea, we're just going to have to deal with, it seems like one video broadcast for all of the different broadcasts. So that was irritating, seeing a bunch of Dodger fans that they kept showing when it's a Padres broadcast. But hopefully that's just a soul thing because of maybe the limited camera room that they have or the agreement between both sides, whatever. But yeah, Darvish, I give him credit for getting out of that big jam there when it was, I want to say, bases loaded. Yeah, top of the third, bases loaded, struck out Max Muncy, got him swinging. Max Muncy also struck out again. I think it was Enyo De Los Santos on the mound. So Muncy, not a great game there, which we love, obviously. Not a fan of Max Muncy. And yeah, I mean, you want the pitch count to be lower for Darvish, but his job is to not allow runs. And he didn't allow any earned runs today. So I'm fine with Darvish's outing. It's a two-game series. Like, we knew that the bullpen was loaded. A lot of bullpen arms, and a lot of bullpen arms ended up going today. Cosgrove, De Los Santos, Matsui, Peralta, Brito, Morahone, and then Estrada when the game was over, essentially. Yeah, Cosgrove, De Los Santos, Matsui. I was impressed. Matsui, nasty. I think it was a splitter. Nasty splitter. And then Wandy Peralta comes in the game. And does he forget that there's a pitch clock? He pitched in Major League Baseball last year with the Yankees when there was a pitch clock. I was saying this on my initial post-game reaction. You should not have a pitch clock violation in year two of the pitch clock. I understand maybe spring training, when you're right getting back in the groove of things, year one, even in the regular season sometimes, I understand it because it's such a big thing. It's just a habit that there's no pitch clock, but then there is, and so you have to get used to that. But to have multiple pitch clock violations, and I believe it wasn't just Wandy Peralta. Yeah, because Darvish had one as well. First batter of the game, right? Mookie ended up reaching on a walk because of the pitch clock violation. That should not be happening. That's inexcusable. Like, you know the rules. A violation is a violation. I don't want to hear anyone complain about, oh, the umpire, why are you being so picky or so, you know, specific about the pitch clock violation? He was about to start his windup and throw. I don't care. Like, the rules are the rules. It's a pitch clock violation. That should not happen. That's inexcusable. And guess what? A couple walks in that big inning for the Dodgers, and the walks were a killer. The pitch clock violation, obviously, killer. Because now Wandy Peralta, I remember one instance in this game, there's two balls, violation. Now there's three balls. Then he throws a ball down, ball four, when it could have been ball three. And maybe he gets that guy out. Like, little things like that. It adds up, and it added up here for the Padres. Brito gave up an earned run. Morahone gave up an earned run. Brito fighting for that fifth spot. He had not pitched out of the bullpen, right, since last year with the Yankees. I'm not trying to make that, like, as an excuse. Needed to do better. You could definitely point to the offense, though, as well. I mean, runners in scoring position, 2 for 5, which might be like, that's not that bad. But it's the five opportunities only with runners in scoring position. I get Glasnow is nasty, but they weren't able to really do much Bogarts did get that RBI single, but the real killer, and I don't think we were thinking about it in the moment. I was just happy that, hey, they got a run across and they made it a 2-1 game, but bases loaded, nobody out there. And I think the fourth inning, great job by Jurickson Profar laying down that bunt, by the way. So the bases are loaded and Campy ends up grounding into a double play. I was excited at that point because a run scores, it's 2-1. But when you look back at it, it's like, man, okay, so Campy ground ball, double play, Tyler Wade strikes out to end the inning. You let the Dodgers off the hook there. Bases loaded, nobody else. You should probably bring in more than one run in that situation. I know that it wasn't like the top of the order was up, bases loaded, nobody out, but still, that's disappointing. And today, overall, Tatis 0-4, Cronenworth 0-4, Manny 0-3, did score a run, but 0-3, Kim 0-3, Camposano 0-4. I know he grounded into the double play, brought in a run, but still, you want more production, especially from your big guys in that order. Jackson Merrill, first game, first at bat, line drive to center, sac fly. I believe that got the runner to third before Bogarts got the single. So, you know, I was fine with the day Merrill had a hard grounder to second base, played fine in center field, didn't really have like any, didn't have any like tough plays there in center field. I like him in that 9 spot for now. You know, don't try to put too much pressure on him. And if he continues to have good at-bats, that's a good thing because then you roll it over back to the top of the order and hopefully the top of the order can do damage. But yeah, it kind of brought flashbacks from last year, right? Not being able to do enough in those situations where you have the advantage offensively, right? You get bases loaded, nobody out. What do you do with it? Just one run. Like that's disappointing. And then obviously when the game is tied, ball goes through Crony's mitt. And by the way, he told Dennis Lynn after the game, that was the first time that that's ever happened to him. Didn't know what to say. It sucks is what he told Dennis. That moment really sucked. At the time, watching it live, I didn't realize that it went through his glove. I just thought it went under his glove. I think that's what pretty much everyone thought. And then when you see the replay, and it's like, oh, no, that literally went right through his glove. It didn't tip off his glove. No, that was a fielded ground ball from Jake Cronenworth, and it went through the webbing of his glove. And I think that would have been a double play ball. You go back to that spot, there's one out. Double play ball gets you out of the inning. And even if it wasn't a double play ball, I know that the next batter ended up singling. And if that would have happened still, then, you know, the Dodgers still would have, I believe, taken the lead in that spot. But maybe there's a mound visit. Maybe something changes. Who knows? But in that spot, even if they get one out, and let's say Crony, he's moving from first towards second base, throws it to second. They can't get the runner at first. Pitcher's going over to first, maybe can't get there in time, or the runner beats it out, whatever. You still have first and third with two outs, and maybe you get a ground ball. Maybe that single still happens, and we're just talking about nothing here, really. Like, Dodgers still would have won the game. But it's just frustrating, obviously, when that could have been at least the possibility to be a double play ball was taken away because of the stupid glove. I don't know how old that glove was that Crony was wearing. I believe he was working in a new glove at spring training last year. I don't know if he was still using that same glove. I do remember that Will Myers would, I believe, allow Crony to use that first base glove that he had. But that was when Crony wasn't like playing first base full time and Myers was still on the team. So I don't know how long that glove had been in use, but it had never happened before. Cronenworth was probably playing catch as they do, warming up guys in the infield earlier in the inning and had no issue with the glove. And it's not like that ball was hit 100 miles per hour either. It was hit harder than I thought for it being a high chopper ground ball, but it's not like it was the hottest shot ever, but it ends up going through the mitt. And it just feels like maybe some fans are just joking when they say it, but like, man, that's Padres are cursed. Because would that have happened to Freddie Freeman at first base with the Dodgers? Like, it doesn't feel like it would, right? I'm not a big believer in, oh, Padres are cursed. But when you look at moments like that, it's like, what other team would that happen to? I'm sure there's other fan bases that feel that same way, but I don't feel like that's going to happen to Freddie Freeman in that spot. In that spot, that would be a ground ball into a double play, and the inning would be over, and the Dodgers would get to go back up the hit, and they'd probably go take the lead in the next half inning. You know, but in, obviously it just feels like in this spot, man, of course it's going to happen to the Padres. That's the most Padres thing ever. And so, yeah, that was a very frustrating moment. And after that, that gave the Dodgers the lead there. Let me see, going to the eighth inning. Lux was the runner, made it 3-2, and then Mookie gets a single, it's 4-2. Ohtani singles, it's 5-2. And it just, yeah, it just unraveled there. And if they get that double play, they wouldn't have been up there with those guys in scoring position like that. They would have been up the next inning with nobody on. And maybe Morejon's not in the game and it's a different reliever, you know? Like, if the game was tied there, let's say, and the Padres, they get the double play, it's 2-2, and it would have been the ninth inning. Or no, yeah, it would have been the top of the ninth. Do they send Suarez out there in a tie game in the ninth? Who do they send out there? You know, it's just things that you don't know. And so, you know, now the Padres, they're the worst team in the league, worst team in the NL West, 0-1. But as I said in my initial post-game reaction, I'm not of the belief that the Padres, like, deserve to win this game. When you don't create a ton of offensive opportunities with runners in scoring position, and you have a bases-loaded situation there, you know, kind of early in the game, nobody out, and you score one run from it, there's that. You got the walks that piled up. The Padres, how many walks did they give to the Dodgers? Free passes to the Dodgers. Nine walks compared to four walks from Dodgers pitching. And all four walks came from Glasnow. Zero walks from the Dodgers bullpen, Brazier, Hudson, Kelly, and Phillips. Zero walks. From the Padres bullpen today, there were six walks. Matsui had one, Wandy had two, Brito had one, and Estrada had two there in that final inning. So, yeah, the free passes, pitch clock violations, not coming through enough offensively. And I'm not even just talking about runners in scoring position, but just the big guys in general didn't do enough today. And so, yeah, that's the story of this game. The good news is there's 161 more to go. I feel like I've been saying this a lot. A lot of opening days, you know, as a Padres fan, where it's like, well, opening day is great because even if the Padres lose, I can look at it optimistically. I can be like, yep, they're 0-1, but there's still 161 more games to go. Just because you lose on opening day does not mean that you can't go win the division. Now, I'm not saying that that is going to happen. I don't think it will, but I'm just saying, just because you lose day one does not mean you can't go win the division. You can't go make the playoffs. You can't go win the World Series. Has to be a loser. Has to be a winner. And if we're being honest, like I just said the other, a few moments ago, the Padres didn't really deserve to win this game. Maybe the first part of it, but that's why there's nine innings. It's a long game. And maybe this is Captain Obvious, but man, that Dodgers lineup, that's a pain to get through for nine innings. Maybe easy sometimes or less difficult than you thought to get through it, you know, through five, through four. But once you get through, like, get to seventh inning, eighth inning, and you're facing these guys again and again and again, and it's like, man, one after another, and they're just coming at you. It's tough. It's tough. And there's a reason why the Dodgers are definitely the favorite to go win the NL West, and are, I haven't looked, but they're probably the National League favorite. If not them, then they're second, and the Braves are first. Obviously, it's a good team over there. And the Padres were not favored in this game. Dodgers, they have Glasnow on the mound. They should have won this game, at least if you're going on paper going in. And tomorrow, do you hand the advantage to the Dodgers as well? I mean, they didn't have to use as many relievers, nearly as many relievers as the Padres did today. They used four. The Padres used, what, seven? Yeah, seven. Cosgrove, De Los Santos, Matsui, Peralta, Brito, Morejon, and Estrada. And so if you look at the Padres bullpen chart, or my bullpen chart that I do, and I'll put this out either later today or tomorrow early morning before the game, you look at the pitch counts. Schilt mentioned, I believe, post-game that the Padres are sort of still in spring training mode with these relievers, because, you know, the U.S. season doesn't start till the 28th. They don't want to, you know, tax these guys, you know, too early into the year. So how many of these guys are going to pitch on back-to-back days? And if none of them are pitching on back-to-back days, I would think Brito would be available. He had 9 pitches. Maybe Morejon, he had 11. Matsui had 11. Cosgrove had 14. We'll see who's available. I would think Estrada is no. He had 26. Peralta, probably not. He had 19. We'll see. But if none of them are available, the Padres relievers that are available tomorrow, Robert Suarez, Stephen Kolek, the Rule 5 guy, Randy Vasquez, and then Michael King. We know Michael King is throwing tomorrow after Joe Musgrove. I would think it's right after Joe, but maybe they have one of the other relievers go in before King if it's not a clean inning. But we know King is going to go. He's going to go multiple innings, I would think. They're not just going to have him throw one inning. So that should help. Let's say Musgrove can go 5 innings. If King could go 3, or maybe even if it's one time through the order, goes a couple of innings, then that, you know, let's say you're through 7 innings with 2 guys, or 3 maybe. Let's say they have to use Kolek or something in the middle of an inning. Then that allows you to go with Suarez and maybe one of the other guys back-to-back days, or Suarez and Vasquez. I don't know if the Padres want Vasquez going in a high leverage spot, 7th, 8th, 9th inning. I would think some of those relievers that pitch today will be available tomorrow morning or tomorrow night, you know, obviously South Korea time. But yeah, it wasn't ideal to use that many relievers, but I'm fine with using that many relievers if your starting pitcher gives up 0 runs. And that's what Darvish did today. He gave up no earned runs. And it's the first start of the year. As I said on my initial reaction, if you thought that Darvish was going to go 6 innings today, I don't know what to tell you. That just wasn't going to happen. It probably won't happen for Joe. I was hoping that at least one of them would be able to go 6 innings, or at least work into the 6, but it's the first start. It's a long year. We need these guys healthy. So I'd rather lose Darvish his innings. Maybe the Padres want him to go more, but I'd rather just use relievers, use some extra relievers, make sure Darvish is healthy, get him out of there if he's given up no earned runs and he's at, you know, a little bit less than 80 pitches, which is probably what the Padres, I'm sure that they had a pitch count there and he was on a pitch count. I'd rather use those extra relievers for an inning each than use Darvish for too long. And then right off the bat, you're dealing with something, right? So what are your thoughts? I'm curious what your thoughts are. I will be going to the chat here in a moment. I did want to hit on the opening day roster, which was announced before this game, obviously. I did put out a reaction video last night on that because that's when the roster was announced. And I wasn't going to do a full show on it, but I just wanted to give my thoughts there. Wade, Rosario, and Pauly, they all make it. Sullivan did not. He gets optioned. So does Woosuck Go. And by the way, Woosuck Go, he had the ability to say no, but if the Padres are saying it's best for you not to start in the bullpen, you're probably just going to say okay and just go work on things. And so I'm not super surprised by anything with the roster. Why go with, as for the catcher thing, like I was saying yesterday, why go with Brett Sullivan when you can have Wade, Rosario, and Pauly? You can have a righty in Rosario who almost hit a home run in the exhibitions. Actually, a couple almost hit home runs there. You have Pauly, left-handed hitter, can play a lot of different positions. Tyler Wade, yeah, he had the throwing error, but he had a good, he had a couple good at-bats. Had a single, worked, was the walk in the first at-bat, grinded through that at-bat against Glasnow. Multiple foul balls on two strike counts there. Good defensive play at third base, or I guess it was at short, but he was playing. He was at third today, but defense was shifted over a little bit, makes a diving play, flips it over to Kim, who was covering second there. He made a good play during the exhibition as well at third and in left. So the versatility is there. Pauly, we know the versatility is there. Why go with a third catcher for two games? Is there really a need for that? There's not, right? And in the bullpen, we knew that King was going to be in the bullpen. He was going to go after Musgrove. If you had been following, paying attention to Cactus League or just the updates from Peoria, Michael King had been throwing the same day as Joe Musgrove. So that's what that's what I thought all along, was that King was going to pitch after Musgrove. And that seems like that is the plan for game two in Seoul against the Dodgers in the final game in Seoul before the team heads back home. Pedro Avila, he is on the taxi squad, which not surprising there, because that means the Padres can delay the decision on Pedro Avila until the 28th when that roster needs to be finalized. He has no options left. And so maybe they don't want him on this bullpen for two games. Maybe they'd rather have someone like Morejone, someone like Stephen Kolek for an inning than go with Avila. Waldron, same thing there. Like, what's the point of having him there on that roster? He's not going to be starting any games in Korea. So, yeah, I'm not, again, getting back to if I'm surprised, not surprised by this, by the bullpen selections, by the bench. Obviously, the outfield, we knew what the outfield was going to be because there were only four outfielders that even went to Korea. There was no Oscar Mercado fighting for a fourth spot with Azokar. I thought Azokar made a good play in left field today. Unfortunately, that didn't really matter because the Dodgers would blow that inning open anyway. Those are my... I guess Dylan Cease is someone that I forgot as well. He is taxi squad. He's taxi squad because if he wasn't, same thing goes with everyone else that was on the taxi squad, the two others, they would have to go down to the minors for 15 days. Pitchers are 15. I think position players are 10. And the Padres, obviously, they want Waldron. They want Cease to be starting when they get back home in the States. So that wouldn't work to have Waldron, for example, be optioned. So obviously they're on the taxi squad. Taxi squad is used. It's supposed to be used for, like, who are your best options if someone gets hurt? You can make the case for those guys. But for this situation, are they really? Or is it, and we know the answer to it. The reason is because they're saving them for when they get back to the United States, when they get back to Petco to pitch then, and they don't want to not be able to use Waldron because they optioned him for the Korea series and he has to be down for, or not on the major league active roster for 15 days. So those are really the main thoughts that I had there on the opening day roster. If you have any thoughts, feel free to let me know. I'm happy for Stephen Kolek, the Rule 5 draft, to get there. I'm happy for Graham Pauly. Obviously, Jackson Merrill making his debut in center field earlier today. I have a feeling he's going to be really fun to watch. I love that he's wearing the number 3. and hoping for some a better game, better performance from the offense coming up in game two of this series. And hopefully we can get some, you know, power from some of the big guys in this lineup, because that's going to be key, not just for game two, but for this season. These guys, especially the big guys in the order, they have got to step up. All right, I'm going to go a short break here and then go to the chat. Check out Gaglione Bros' famous cheesesteaks and garlic fries on Friars Road. You can visit their website, gaglionebros.com, for their entire menu and enjoy their cheesesteaks and fries at Petco Park and Snapdragon Stadium as well. Some of the other great partners of the show: Breaking Tea, San Diego Sports sweatshirts and shirts, Padres, Aztecs, Wave. Aztecs, they get underway March Madness on Friday, 10:45 a.m. on, I believe, TNT. And then the Wave home opener this weekend on Saturday night against the Kansas City Current. You can get your tickets on San Diego Wave's website. Underdog Fantasy, 100% deposit match up to $100. There are the higher lower pick'ems. There are the drafts. It's not just Major League Baseball, but other sports as well. So feel free to use code Talking Friars or click that link in the description. 100% deposit match again for Underdog Fantasy with your first deposit. SeatGeek, code Talking Friars for any Padres games. If you maybe live outside of San Diego and your Padres are going to be on the road later this year and you want to use SeatGeek, feel free to do it there. Feel free to do it for games at Petco Park as well. All right. Getting to the comments, I'm sure Padres fans are riled up about what happened today. Those that were up at 3 o'clock in the morning watching this game, I did have that feeling like, man, I didn't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch that ending. But we're Padres fans. That's what we have to deal with, right? All right. Jonathan says, hey, I just subscribed because I like the Padres, but I'm a Dodger fan. Just want to know your side. Oh, so a Dodger fan that wants to know Padre fan side. Well, hopefully you kind of got a glimpse there of the Padre fan view. I'm not saying that I represent all Padres fans. I'm just one of many passionate Padres fans. Red Devil NC says, how can you like the Padres and be a Dodger fan? Yeah, exactly. I thought it was weird that Chano Parker threw out the first pitch. I get it that he faced the pod, or he played for the Padres and played for the Dodgers in his career, but I'm sorry. Pick one. Like Garvey, it seems like he associates himself with the Dodgers. Okay. Agon associates himself more with the Dodgers now. Okay, that's fine. Pick one. Tony Gwynn Jr. does not associate himself with the Dodgers. He played for the Dodgers. Pick one. It's Padres or Dodgers. Don't wear a split jersey, Dodgers and Padres. That's just my feeling on that. Maybe some people are like, eh, whatever, let him do whatever he wants. I get it. Maybe he's trying to, he probably is trying to give respect to both teams. I understand that. But for me, I'm picking one. And I'm going to be like, I appreciate the other team giving me an opportunity to play. But come on, it's a rivalry. I'm picking one. Hopefully the side that I didn't pick understands that. I'm not going to split down the middle and go, eh, Padres and Dodgers. That's not the way this works. It's one or the other. Padres need some offense. Too many question marks in the field. JD Martinez, maybe. Well, you're saying too many question marks in the field. JD Martinez doesn't play the field. He would be just a DH. And how much longer is Manny going to be DHing? We don't know the answer to that. JD Martinez, I love how much he looks at video, and it seems like he is such a student of the game hitting-wise, right? I'd love to have that mind in the Padres clubhouse and the bat, but how much is he going to cost? I guess we don't know because the market isn't that great for players that are still free agents right now. Seems like Tommy Pham might end up going to the Padres for like $4 million, so it's not that great, but for the Padres, I think it's one or the other, and I don't even think JD Martinez is really an option. I think if they would sign JD, it's okay, then they're not signing Tommy Pham, and what does that mean for your outfield situation, right? Where Tommy, he can DH if you need him to. He can also play outfield. JD Martinez, you're probably not getting that with JD Martinez. And JD actually might be a little bit more expensive because I think teams probably view him as a better hitter than Tommy Pham. Andrew says, what a waste of time. How do you expect them to be good? Spent the entire offseason on pitching, and it failed us in the end. That Juan Soto trade was one of the worst ever. Well, I think it's way too early for anyone to say that was one of the worst trades ever because we don't know how it's going to work out for the Yankees. What if Juan Soto doesn't do that great with the Yankees? Even if he does, they're playing to win the World Series. So if they don't win the World Series this year and Soto walks, the Padres win the trade probably, right? Yankees fans might be like, hey, at least we went for it. But the Padres will have Michael King for this year and next year. We haven't even seen Michael King pitch yet in the regular season, so let's relax. There's Johnny Brito. There's Randy Vasquez. A lot of control there. They just got Dylan Cease in for part of a package that included Drew Thorpe, which they got from the Soto deal. So it's definitely not one of the worst ever, at least as of now. Definitely not. So I disagree on that. But spent the entire offseason on pitching, and it failed us in the end. Yeah, but that's going to happen. You know, when I was saying this earlier, when you go to the well that many times with that many relievers, someone's probably not going to be on their day. That's why it's risky in the postseason if you don't have great starting pitching. You don't have, like, those three guys, which the Padres on paper do have, Darvish, Musgrove, and Cease, and we'll see with Michael King. If you don't have that, you're going with a bunch of bullpen games. Those guys get taxed and that you keep going to them. Someone's not going to be on their game and you might have to give up a big inning and then you end up losing that game. So that's kind of what happened today. But at the same time, I mean, I thought it should have been a double play there with Cronenworth. It goes through his glove and then it opens, you know. Robert says, walks and Cronenworth's first base glove killed the Padres in the eighth inning using Morahon and Brito late in the game. I would rather see Matsui, Peralta, and De Los Santos later in the game. I don't know how Mike Schilt views that. He probably views it as like outs. Let's worry about later. You know, let's not give up the lead now. And so, yeah, I will admit, Robert, I was thinking about that too, like Brito in the eighth inning. I was kind of wondering, were they going to bring Suarez in and go five outs and see what happens after that, I believe, because that if even five outs, I think there would have been at least one out left. Just see what happens, and then you don't use Suarez the next day, and you just figure it out. But Suarez will be available tomorrow, and he should pitch pretty much regardless of the situation. But, I mean, when Darvish goes, you know, less than four innings, I thought we were going to see maybe Brito earlier, not later. But I think the Padres just wanted to get the outs now and worry about it. Maybe the offense would tack on some runs and that would allow Estrada to come in the game and it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But I'm not going to like heavily criticize Mike Schilt's bullpen management because if you think about it, it worked for a good amount of time in this game. And then Wandy Peralta forgets about a pitch clock and there's walks and Brito comes in. And then, you know, you go Morahone and I think, right, Estrada was the last guy, I want to say. Yeah. And by that time, it's already 5-2. Yeah, Mike says here, four pitch clock violations. Like, that's inexcusable. That can't happen. It's a rule. It's a clock that is counting down. How do you have a pitch clock violation? Like they can say, oh, well, I'm so locked into what I'm doing on the mound. Well, you're not locked in enough because if you're locked in, you're focused on the pitch that the catcher is calling. But you're also focused at the same time on the clock and making sure, or if you're actually locked in, like you would have gotten this down in spring training and gotten a routine like, you know what? Regardless of the situation, I know when I need to be starting my windup so I don't get a violation. I know this isn't pitching, but remember last year, Grish, he got that thing dialed in where he would make the pitcher wait because he wouldn't get in the box until a certain point. I'm sure pitchers can do the same thing in terms of like when they're going to pitch. I just think it's inexcusable to have a pitch clock violation. It's not like it's a balk. It's literally you're not starting to throw by the time the clock hits zero. Like, come on. So yeah, that annoys me. And people might not like the pitch clock, but that's not the point. I don't care if you don't like the pitch clock. I don't care if any Padres players don't like it. That's a rule. So you have to play by the rule, know the rule. And I just get so irritated by it because it's just so simple. Just pitch the ball in time. And you're giving up balls. And then you have three balls on Mookie Betts or whoever it was at the plate at that time. Instead of two, then you throw a ball down in the zone and it's ball four and a runner's on base instead of it being three balls. And maybe you get that guy out. And that runner ends up scoring. Like it's little things like that, that it adds up a little bit and it annoys me. And I'm sure it annoys Mike Schilt and Ruben Niebla because they know it's about the little things as well. I mean, they've been preaching it. Players have been preaching it as well all spring training. So it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. C-Dub says, kind of sad that Nando didn't do anything, but he will bounce back. Yeah, it's one game. Like, I may sound like pissed off about certain things, but let's be clear. I'm not saying that this Padres team is screwed or the season's over or anything like that. I'm just reacting to some of the moments in this game that I got up, you know, before 3 a.m., like a lot of us probably, to watch. And they had a lead, multiple leads, and they couldn't close it. Continuing to go through the chat here. Mike says, I was impressed that we bunted. I mean, yeah, it was a good bunt by Profar. And I think that's what you should be doing that in those situations. When I believe there were no outs in the spot, right? And Profar bunts. I don't think he was trying to bunt for a hit there. I think he was just, I mean, you saw the angle. If you're watching the game, him running down the line, he was watching what was happening the entire time as he was running down the line. He wasn't like sprinting head down, going down the line. So it seems like that was like a sacrifice, but he ended up reaching it because of how good of a bunt it was. And I believe, was it Glasnow? He was going away. Obviously he was going towards the Padres dugout, not towards first. And so that hurt, right? With his throw trying to get Profar at first. But yeah, that is what should happen. You're Jerks and Profar. You have an opportunity to get second and third, at least if you sacrifice yourself in that spot. So yeah, that's the right thing to do for sure. It's a bummer that the Padres were only able to get one run out of that, though. No doubt about that. That was a bummer. Again, at the time I wasn't really thinking about that. So that's probably my bad. They only got one run in that spot. I was just excited that they got a lead again because they had the 1-0 lead. Then it was tied. Then it was 2-1. So I was excited they got the lead back and okay, doing some things and the small things. I was focusing on the positives and then it's kind of hard to focus on all the positives when that game ended the way that it did. Yeah, the Peter Seidler pregame tribute was nice. Yep. They had that shot of Kutsenda sitting next to Shiel Seidler, which was nice. That has to, I'm just thinking about Shiel right now. I mean, that just has to be such a, I mean, you're happy, like, cause she probably loves the Padres as well. You're happy that the season is here, but you know, Peter should be sitting next to you and he's not, right? That Peter Seidler Memorial coming up on Saturday, that's going to be pretty emotional, I would imagine. And then Fan Fest on Sunday. And then the exhibition games Monday, Tuesday, and then off day, and then Thursday they get right back at it against Blake Snell, Bob Melvin, and the San Francisco Giants. Continuing to go through the chat here.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Just getting here. Sorry if you have already talked about this, but the Padres bullpen is going to be a challenge this year. It will be a challenge if, yeah, they can't find, like, defined roles, right? But as of now, Suarez is the closer. And overall, the bullpen did a pretty good job today. It's just the 1-2 innings that made that big difference, right? And if the double play would have been turned, if, you know, Cronenworth's glove wouldn't have, you know, done what happened and it broke through his mitt, maybe they get out of the inning, and then the bullpen, it looks like it did an even better job than what happened, right? Wandy didn't have his best day, but he's going to be counted on still as a high-leverage reliever, I would say. You know, it's game one. I'm not going to sit here and say that, oh, the bullpen's going to be a challenge this year after one game. I think... going in on paper here, the bullpen, it's going to be one of the strengths of the Padres. And so I'm not taking this one game and now flipping it and saying, no, it's going to be a challenge. Right now, I think it's going to be one of the strengths of this Padres team this season. They've got a lot of good quality arms there. It just, they went back, you know, Schilt had to go to it a lot. A lot of relievers were used today. I mean, if you look at it, 1, 2, 3, 4. Four relievers didn't allow any earned runs. And it was really Peralta and Brito, right? Those were the two that were the disappointing ones. I know Morejone, 2/3 of an inning, 1 earned run. But I guess I remember more Peralta and Brito, what happened there. It's one game. I'm not going to make any statements about the Padres bullpen this year. It's not like my opinion has changed off of one game. Let's see here. Padres snubbed Woo Suk-ho in Korea. They optioned him before the Seoul opener. I don't think that they snubbed him. I don't think he deserved to be on the roster. I had him on the roster because I didn't think that they were going to have him go down to the minors. Not, he's still there, but not be on the major league roster when it's in Korea. Can't be like the last guy in the bullpen. I, you know, have him pitch if they're down by three in the ninth inning, like they had Estrada pitch today. I guess it was a little surprised that Go ended up not making it. But when you look at his performance, it seemed pretty obvious that he's not ready, especially for any important situation in that bullpen. So I don't think he was snubbed. I think he didn't pitch well enough to make the roster. And there were plenty of arms that did pitch well to make the roster. Yeah, Dave Roberts definitely under pressure with the Dodgers. Of course. I mean, Andrew Friedman wouldn't go anywhere because there's that clause in Ohtani's contract. Sure, Dodger fans can blame star players if they don't perform in the postseason, but if they want to make a change, I mean, why not? If you're the Dodgers and if it doesn't work out this year, Dave Roberts is what's going to hold everything together. If you change managers, if you, you know, fail in the postseason, that's going to, like, what if they fail, why have Dave Roberts still be the manager? They haven't won a real World Series with him. Another manager could take that same team and do the same thing that Dave Roberts has done. You know, as long as they don't like whiff, Alex Cora is a free agent. You don't think he wouldn't want to go manage the Dodgers? Or another up-and-coming guy? So, yeah, Dave, he definitely would be like the scapegoat. If Dodger fans demand change, then, yeah, Dave Roberts is the guy that would go. Because Dave Roberts is not the one that is in that contract of Ohtani's. Like the, I don't know what they call it, whatever clause that is. But because Ohtani can opt out if Friedman or the Dodgers owner are no longer there, he can opt out of the contract. I don't think Dave Roberts is included in that. Ben, when are we going to sign Tommy Pham and Jordan Montgomery? Jordan Montgomery is not coming to the Padres. I'll tell you that right now. I will guarantee you that. Tommy Pham, I mean, that could come, I guess, at any moment. I mean, Preller gets up at 5 in the morning and probably before that. Doesn't go to sleep till 2 in the morning sometimes. He's always up. And so I don't think the time change is going to be like, now, he can't talk. I don't know if you guys saw, but holy cow. Marty Caswell posted audio of AJ Preller on the Darren Smith show yesterday. He was supposed to go on their show and give a full interview, which would have been riveting because he totally tells us everything. He called in and like he could barely talk. And that wasn't getting in the way of him going and playing basketball, as he said, but like he couldn't talk. So maybe it would have to be a text thing or one of his assistants will have to talk for him. But a Tommy Pham deal could happen at any point. Maybe it's more likely after the Seoul series, once they get back home. Maybe Pham doesn't sign before the season and he has to wait for an injury somewhere to pop up. But the Padres want Tommy Pham. Make no mistake about it. They want Tommy Pham. And maybe Tommy wants to come to the Padres, but he also wants to get as much money as he can, obviously, in this bad free agent market. So that seems to be the holdup, because why would he want to go to the White Sox over the Padres? You want to go to a team that just traded away Dylan Cease? You want to go to a team that is not trying to win and they're in the AL Central? No, you'd rather go to a team that's at least trying to win. There doesn't seem to be a lot of great fits for Tommy. Like, White Sox and Padres are the two teams that I'm seeing mentioned. And the Padres are mentioned way more than the White Sox. Just going through the chat still here. Let's see if there's anything that stands out. I mean, for me, it feels like it's middle of the day here because I woke up well before 3 a.m. But it's only a little after 8 a.m. So I appreciate everyone being here. Hiko, probably botched that name, says, I like Jackson Merrill's swings, although he didn't get a hit. Yeah, I mean, definitely first at bat, line drive, hit that ball hard. I'm liking it too. It didn't seem like he was overmatched today. Now, it's going to seem like it at some point because it's the big leagues and there's some really good pitchers. But what I saw today, I was pretty encouraged by. Kirsten says, I feel like a trade for a bat is coming. I don't know about a trade. I think that if they're going to get a bat, it would come like the Tommy Pham route, the 1 year, $4 million deal with Tommy Pham. I feel like that's what it would be. I mean, the Padres, they did just trade Ariarte, Zavala, Thorpe. Like, they don't want to trade their top guys. Now, if they're trading for 1 year of control of Max Kepler or someone like that, I don't think they, you know, they're definitely not going to have to give up Ethan Salas or anything like that. But it feels like the Padres, the Dylan Cease trade was more of an exception. Like, okay, yeah, let's do it because it's Dylan Cease. It's a star pitcher. I don't think that they're going to do that just for some, you know, outfielder that is like replacement level. I think it has to be a really good outfielder that's better than Tommy Pham, because you have to take on that salary and you have to give up prospects, where with Pham, you just give up money. So I think more of a, I think it's going to be a small, to us, it's probably not going to feel small, but to the baseball world, just like a 1 year small free agent outfielder coming in, if any addition is made to this team. Alan says, do you wish the Dodgers hosted this game because this takes away games from Petco? Are the Padres the home team tomorrow as well, or is this just 1-1? Because that would make the most sense, right? Is the Padres host the first game, Dodgers host one game? Yeah, Dodgers are the host tomorrow. Musgrove against Yamamoto, 3:05 a.m., same thing. Padres TV, 97.3 The Fan. I think some people were able to watch it on ESPN today as well in market, although it said on the MLB app, out of market only. Not like I was wanting to go watch the ESPN broadcast anyway, but that's available if that's what you want. Padres TV is free, by the way. For these two games, it is free. Probably the exhibition games that they're going to be broadcasted, those will be free as well. You only have to pay starting on the 28th. And by then, for anyone that has cable, they should have an announcement on where you will be able to watch Padres games on cable by the 28th, by then. I think they and Major League Baseball are collaborating. They're working on that right now. So to answer that, Alan, one home Padres game was taken away from this, not two. It sure felt like, based on the broadcast, it felt like there were more Dodger fans there. But when Ha-Sung Kim got up to the plate, there were Ha-Sung Kim chants, so that was cool. It is a smaller stadium, much smaller stadium than most big league ballparks, less than 20,000. But ESPN, we know that they're going to be biased towards the Dodgers because of Ohtani, because it's a bigger brand than the Padres, because they had the big offseason. They're the favorites to win the World Series and all that. Like, I understand that. It just felt like a ton of shots of Dodger fans, where much less shots of Padres fans. Maybe that was just me, but it's not a big deal. But I guess I was hoping for, like, for me watching the Padres broadcast to get Padres shots, not getting Dodger fan reactions when Shohei Ohtani has an RBI single. Like, I don't want to see Dodger fans cheering. I don't need to see that. Anyway. All right. That's it. Padres lose game one. Sadly, they had a couple leads. Couldn't keep those leads. Dodgers are a good team. Padres have talent as well. Musgrove King pitching tomorrow. Suarez will pitch, I would assume. I'd be very surprised. I'd be shocked if Suarez does not pitch tomorrow. We'll see what other relievers will be available. Kolek may pitch tomorrow as well. If they split, I think we got to be happy. If they lose tomorrow, season's over. No, I'm just kidding. But that will suck as well. All right. Talking Friars episode 575. Thank you, everyone, for the time. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to y'all later. See ya.